This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about the fighting Secret Service agents. First, we're going to discuss primary voting. Someone's upset. Talk about POWs, tater tots. My goodness, we're all over the map on our final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show this week. So, before we dig into tater tots and other things, I do want to discuss the Secret Service agent catfight. This guy said, hey, Jesse, the catfighting Secret Service agents, what do you want to bet? At least one is a ginger. Quit. Anyway, he says, P.S., how do you manage to hit the mic so often with your tiny hands? I wish you hadn't put that because Chris gets upset all the time. Listen, I know it sounds bad, Chris, okay? I talk with my hands. Anyone who watches me do this, and remember, you can watch me do this at jessekellyshow.com. You can watch me do the radio show. It's just not something I just do for radio. I talk with my hands. It's not just Italians that talk with their hands, Chris. Other people talk with their hands. I don't know why I talk with my hands, but I am very much a hand talker. Because I'm a hand talker, I end up, I'm sure you hear this during the show. Chris, is that making a noise? Can they hear it? They can hear it? Are you upset? Does that upset you, Chris, when I do that? You should see how upset Chris is getting. On occasion, every now and then, I will touch the microphone. I think there has to be a better solution, and nobody likes my solution, and I don't think my solution can be implemented, but I will put it out there. Here's what I dream of. You know how I've told you before I don't like to sit for long periods of time. One, it's terrible for you. It's worse than smoking. It's just sitting is terrible for you. You want to move. And I hate sitting. Like right now, if you're watching me do this, my legs are doing the back and forth thing underneath the table. My legs are twitching. I want to move. In between segments, I get up and I move. I can't sit all the time. It drives me crazy. On top of that, speaking of driving people crazy, what I'm about to tell you drives it drives my wife up the wall. If I am thinking, and this includes if I'm thinking through a conversation I'm having or thinking about what I'm saying, I pace back and forth and back and forth. And when I'm on the phone, I pace. I walk around the room back and forth, back and forth. When I'm talking to her, she'll finally come unglued. She'll just be like, could you just stand still or just sit down? She can't deal with it. And it is annoying. I feel bad for her. I get it. I want one of those head microphones that the infomercial guys or the mega church pastors get, the wireless head microphones that I can stand up while I do the radio show and pace back and forth. I don't just want to stand. I want to walk around while I do the show. Is that not the most bonkers thing you've ever heard? And I want it, and I want it bad. What, Chris? What? Chris, why do we have to bring up old stuff? Chris brought up a little experiment we did one time. He said, what about the one segment we ever did standing? So this is not the very first time I've come up with this idea because I like to stand and walk. At one point they got me, well, there was this super extendable microphone that would reach when I stand up, and I'm tall, I'm 6'8", so it had to reach high. The problem was, Chris, the headphones we had were wired headphones. You know I'm right about this. And as I was talking and standing, of course, I talk with my hands. I think I made it a minute into the episode before my hand hit the cord where the headphones were plugged in, unplugged the whole cord, just completely blew up the entire segment. I had to sit down, plug in the cord. I think it was dead air. I don't even remember at the time. We tried it once, Chris, but you know who failed then? It wasn't me. It was you. Because I was not given the proper equipment. Remember, kids, don't ever take responsibility for your actions when you're in charge. You pass off responsibility to those under you. That's leadership. What, Chris? What? Listen, that's on you. There were wireless headphones available. Whatever. Anyway, back to the Secret Service agents. On a more serious note, we want the America we used to have in so many ways. Right? It makes us sound old-fashioned, or what would be a word kids would say? Reactionary, maybe it would be a word kids would say. But there are things about America we miss and we long to have again. The Secret Service is just yet another one of those examples. For all of my life, I've looked up to Secret Service agents. When you hear somebody's in the Secret Service, what do you picture? You picture some fit dude in a good-looking suit with sunglasses on, and you automatically know. What do you know when you're looking at that guy? First thing pops into your mind, that dude's highly trained. That dude's in shape. I bet he's a great shot. And not only that, that dude will take a bullet for the president. If someone's going to shoot the president, that guy will jump in front of him and take a bullet for him. And that's the image we all have. I have the same image you do. It's burnt into our brains. We picture that dude. The problem is communism destroys everything. And more specifically, let's just go ahead and set the communism stuff aside. Diversity destroys everything. And it's not our strength. It's always our weakness. The second you drop merit and you start hiring for any other reason than merit, whatever you're hiring for will get worse. It doesn't matter what it is. I've used a million examples of this before. The last one I can think of is when I said I started my own burger shop. And I have to hire chefs. I have to hire suppliers and drivers and waiters and waitresses. And I have all this burger shop of mine that I started. I didn't really start it. And I just decide out of the blue, you know what? We need more people with green eyes. And I'm not hiring anyone else unless they have green eyes. Am I going to get the best cook? Best waiter? Am I going to get the best supplier? Of course not. When you decide on these ridiculous things, and that is the hiring practice in the United States of America today, employers will brag about it. They will brag. We hired so many women. Well, what are you actually bragging about? We stopped hiring men. Corporations will brag about it. You can't believe how many black people we hired and other minorities. Well, what are you actually saying? Oh, we blocked out white men. We're not hiring whitey anymore. And I'm not saying we have a lack of whiteness. What I'm saying is when any organization, the Secret Service included, starts to try to fill diversity quotas where you need so many gays and so many women, you need so many Asians, got to get some Indians in there. Do we have enough black people? The second you start looking at anything in life that way, quotas for things that don't matter at all, your organization will rot and be destroyed. And the exact same thing has happened with the United States Secret Service. It's been widely talked about, especially since Butler, when the Republican nominee for president almost got his freaking head blown off by an assassin who assumed a rooftop unmolested 148 meters from the head of the president of the United States of America. I have no Secret Service training whatsoever. I have 4 years of Marine Corps infantry training, and me, completely untrained, no training at all as a Secret Service agent, could have stood on that stage and looked around and said, that rooftop's going to be a problem. 148 yards away, an elevated position on the president of the United States of America? We need guys there. I may not know all the other Secret Service stuff and the ins and outs, but I'll tell you this. I understand sight lines, and I understand elevation, and I understand 148 meters is something people can train to do on the weekend and be ready in about a month. Someone better go guard that. But the United States Secret Service didn't? How's that possible? How, honestly, the ask was about the Secret Service agents. This took place outside of Obama's home. Barack Obama's former president of the United States of America. How many people do you think want to murder Barack Obama, foreign and domestic? Make a lot of enemies when you're president. So we task Secret Service to protect his life. And as much as I hate Barack Obama, I hope his life is protected. I don't want him to die. I don't want any harm to come to him. And so we automatically get that image in our head that there's that strapping dude in a suit standing out in front of Obama's mansion, ready to take on any and all comers. This is some crazy jihadi. Don't worry. He'll probably use some jujitsu on him. That's not who's there at all. It's a bunch of diversity hires. Packed it full of a bunch of women who can't shoot, can't holster their weapon, probably sleeping with the supervisor, workplace drama, and they get in a physical altercation in the driveway. That's what happens with diversity. Congratulations. But hey, you met that quota. That's the most important thing, right? How important are your memories? The memories you have with your family and your friends. How important to you is that baby book? You know, the pictures you have in that book of your babies. Do those matter to you? Oh, they do? They matter to me too. I am so big on pictures because I'm so big on time with family and memories because that's what matters to me. And that's why I adore Legacy Box so much. I am such a big believer in what they do. Legacy Box digitizes your hard copy pictures and home videos and camcorders. They digitize it for you. So you want to look at pictures of your kids? They're right there on your phone. You want to look at grandpa's old World War II photos on your phone? What about that family trip you took down to Myrtle Beach where you didn't get stabbed on your phone? Legacy Box will send you a box. You fill it with your stuff. Send it to Legacy Box. They hand digitize those precious memories and then send you everything back. And then you have it forever. You want a good offer? LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday as we churn through all the news. And okay, so I'm going to address what I'm going to call a rumor out there right now. It's a rumor coming from fairly reliable sources, but I don't know if it's true or not. Elon Musk did a big Oval Office thing with Trump today where Trump gave him a golden key to the White House, which is hilarious. That's the most Trump thing I've ever heard. But Trump was publicly thanking him for his service, and Elon's kind of stepping away, and he's going back to Tesla, and he's moving on. And we know that he's frustrated, and that we understand all that. But Elon Musk had some sort of an eye injury. I would call it a black eye. It was kind of on the side. I've had a black eye like that before when I got hit the wrong way. But so I guess it's a black eye. And there is a lot of reporting out there that Elon Musk got in a physical altercation over the government cuts or lack thereof with Scott Bessent. You know who Scott Bessent is, the Treasury Secretary. You know.
Elon came in 100 days, did some very important work. And you know, I'd characterize two principles.
Yeah, okay, you got it, Scott Bessent. And people are trying to make a lot of this, and they're making a lot of it for two reasons. One, people love gossip. They just love it. You should avoid that, I should note. But it is something humanity has always loved. It's not unique to America or our modern era. People love to traffic in gossip, especially when it's about the rich and the powerful. Oh, did you hear? He's got a drug problem. Did you hear? I heard they got a fight behind. People love that stuff. There's a reason when you're in the grocery market, when you're in the grocery market, the grocery store, when you're in the supermarket, waiting at the checkout line, all the magazines, virtually all of them are women's gossip magazines. The latest in the split between whoever. You got it. That's one of the reasons people love it. Another reason people get interested in this stuff is they think a physical altercation between men is the end of the world. It's oftentimes treated like that by people who've never been in physical altercations at all. And I'm here to tell you, A, it's not a great look when you're that age. Look, it's understandable when you're 15. It's understandable when you're 10. It's even understandable when you're 25. About the time you hit your 30s, definitely when you hit your 40s, and most definitely when you're in your 50s and 60s, you do what you have to do when the situation arises. But if I have my way, I will never punch another human being again in my life. I have received my last punch and delivered my last punch if I have my way. At some point, you should probably set that aside. However, men are not women. I'm not saying it's in any way better, but I'm also not saying it's in any way worse. Sometimes with men, when egos get fired up, testosterone gets fired up, sometimes it can get physical. And it's not the end of the world. It's really not. If all that turns out to be true, and we may never know, but if all that turns out to be true and Elon Musk and Scott Bessent were throwing hands in the Oval Office or something like that, okay. I've told you before, when you have a bunch of type A men involved in the same kind of project, type A men are used to giving orders and having orders followed. They have ideas of where they want something to go. They give orders. They want it done. And most of their lives has been people doing it. Scott Bessent, that's been his life. He's not some lackey. Scott Bessent's a big shot. Elon Musk, richest man in the world. I don't know what is. I don't know how many companies he has. It's a lot of them. I think he has like 12 or 13. It's a lot of them. Elon Musk has a bunch of people at his command. He's used to saying jump and legions of people saying how high. Donald Trump, he's the freaking billionaire, real estate mogul, former and current president of the United States of America. Got a big ego like all those other guys we're talking about. Trump is used to giving an order and having an order followed. And there's more, right? There's more in this administration. Marco Rubio, remember we didn't report, someone else reported it, but we talked about that story of Rubio and Elon allegedly got into it in a really bad way, where they're arguing back. Well, Rubio's a United States senator from Florida. Senators have more staffers than you can imagine. Rubio is used to giving orders, having his orders followed. When you get a bunch of guys like that in the same room on the same team, they're going to disagree. Maybe they had one too many cocktails. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it escalated to a point where it got physical. Again, I'm not recommending it, and I'm not celebrating it, but it also ain't the end of the world. They probably shook hands this morning, had a morning beer over the whole thing, and called it a day. Let's not stress about it. Let's move on. Let's get back to the important stuff. Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and the pain in your life. If you wake up with a black eye, that would hurt. But the good news is the black eye will go away. Your back pain? That's going to stay there until you do something about it. What have you done about the daily pain in your life? Are you ignoring it? Are you taking a bunch of things to mask it? Busy liquefying your organs so your foot doesn't hurt anymore? Why don't you try a supplement instead? A daily supplement. It's called Relief Factor. It's drug-free, which is always where we should start, right? 100% drug-free. Relief Factor, it's amazing. I call it miraculous. They know it's miraculous. That's why they sell 3 weeks of it. Get 3 weeks of it. Take it every day for 3 weeks. The relief factor is all, well, you'll call back, and you will. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It's $19.95. That's less than a buck a day. Is that not worth a try? ReliefFactor.com or 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Jewish producer Chris has given me crap about saying Elon Musk and Scott Bessent probably had a morning beer and worked it out. Listen, I wasn't encouraging anybody to have a morning beer. That's not what I was saying. Maybe I misspoke, but I was thinking you wake up the next day. It's happened to me before. You wake up the next day, you don't really want to say sorry because you're dudes, and you don't want to say sorry, and he doesn't want to say sorry. And so when you say, hey, man, let's go get a beer, you know what that is? That's you saying sorry, and he's saying sorry. What, Chris? Was I in the desert at the time? Yeah, absolutely. Yes. On occasion, it doesn't have to be beer. It can be a tea or something like that. I just meant they probably already made up. Dudes oftentimes make up after they trade hands with somebody. It's how we're built. It looks completely foreign to ladies and people who've never been in a fight. But that's just how it is. Jesse, you talk about importance of primary voting. What's the use in primary voting when there's only one name to choose? Virginia governor primaries in June. There's only one name on the ballot, so on and so forth. What is this, and how can ordinary working people change it? Both political parties seem to be working together to select the office holders. I am not going to say you're wrong about what the parties do, what the political parties do, how they do get involved, and they do put their finger on the scale, and they do push money and resources to the one they want, and they'll try to starve out the outsider. I know this. It happened to me. Remember, I told you, I faced exactly that mountain when I ran for Congress in Arizona. The establishment GOP put everything against me in that primary. All the money, all the everything. We had nothing scraping to get by. So I get it. I know what you're saying is true. However, normal people don't get involved. Oftentimes, normal people don't get involved. They leave politics to the evil people who do the selecting, and then they sit back and say, why does everything suck? Everything sucks because idiots and losers and horrible people occupy political office. Why? Because good people don't run. Good people don't run. Oftentimes, good people don't run. There are good people who do and good people who are elected and who've been elected. Good people think to themselves, I don't have time. And maybe you don't, but maybe you do. They think, I don't have money. Okay. I didn't have any money when I ran. Got to go raise it. Got to go ask people for money. Hey, put $5 in an envelope. Need some money. Good people think they're not qualified. I get that all the time from people. You look at government officials. state, local, federal, and they have suits on them. They even have oftentimes little pins to make sure they make sure you know that they're super important. And look at that. They have a staff. And they're using all these words, all big words. Haven't you heard a bunch of big words lately when it comes to the bill? Oh, after all, we have to go through reconciliation, and then there's discretionary versus non-discretionary. And if you look at the budget caps and the high yields, and they use all these words, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't even know what any of those words mean. I can't run for office. I'm not super smart and educated like that guy. I've met all these people. They're all morons. All of them. Well, not all of them, but most of them are complete and utter morons. You're completely qualified. Completely qualified. Chris is qualified. Or maybe not Chris, but most people are qualified. Run for office. Not governor of Virginia. I mean, you can if you want, but run for office. We need you. Not another one of them. We need you. Normal people don't run. And normal people can defeat the establishment. It can happen because it's happened many, many, many times before. Many times before. Did it myself with a whole lot of help, keep in mind. But I did it myself. Regarding your Memorial Day program, I read some time ago that shortly after President Reagan was elected, he tried to get the remaining Vietnam POWs released, and all Vietnam wanted was money. Do you believe there were any POWs that never returned home? This is a subject that I hesitate to touch on because I know for a fact there are people listening who have somebody who's currently missing in action. And maybe you're rolling your eyes at that and saying, oh gosh, Jesse, it's Vietnam. If we're talking about a Vietnam MIA guy, Jesse, it's Vietnam. They're dead by now. Yeah, but the pain is still there. And not having that closure, it really hurts people. It hurts bad. Those POW MIA flags you see people flying, I love those flags. It's a way to remember. I will say this about most POWs, though. Most MIA, POW, MIA, I'm merging the two worlds. The MIA, the missing in action, classified as missing in action. On occasion, yes, that's somebody who has been captured. But almost all of those guys, the vast majority of the MIAs, are dead people. They're dead people who, for one reason or another, the body couldn't be recovered. Without the body, without a confirmation of death, you have to list them as missing in action, at least for some time. And look, this is on Guadalcanal, we had guys eaten by crocodiles. During the World War II in the Pacific, we had guys, I read one story about, I think it was Army guys just down by the water, soaping up, dude's in the water, croc takes him, gone, goodbye. What do you do with that? And I don't want to be too forward about this. I know how rude I can be. Sometimes the bodies are blown to bits. They are. If you ever read World War I stories, you'll know this. We talked about it, about the World War I Italian campaign, but it was on every front. Artillery is an amazing thing. Artillery can kill you without a piece of shrapnel touching you. Just the concussion can kill you. But think about all the explosive material and shrapnel in the air. Artillery shells will decimate a human body. And guys in the trenches would be digging trenches, filling sandbags, and you find someone's hand, and you don't even know whose it is. Somebody's head, somebody's foot. It lands, and he's just gone. And plus, don't think that somebody's watching the whole time. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, someone saw the artillery shell. No, it's so loud and confusing with things going on all around you. No, you don't see everything at all. You're looking one way, you turn around, there was an explosion, your buddy's gone, but his boot's still there, and you never see him again. That's how it goes. With regards to the Vietnamese POWs, we know they kept POWs. We know that. I hope they died, to be honest with you. At some point in time, if you're kept in these terrible conditions. And Vietnam was, they really wanted to keep it quiet. They didn't want to advertise to the world they still held our guys. So where do they drag them? You drag them out to the jungle where you can't be observed. I hope they didn't suffer for too long is more specific. I'm not saying I hope they died. I hope they didn't suffer for too long. Were some left behind? There's no question about it. No question about it. But on the darkest way I can possibly make something sound optimistic, most MIA are dead. They couldn't find them. All right. Let's do one more segment. Then let's go to the weekend. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. I hope you get ready to enjoy your weekend. One final word on the MIA stuff before we get back to some more questions and things like that. For instance, just what we were talking about. You know how on Monday we did our Memorial Day show and we did some talk about Vietnam and Mac V. Sog and things like that. Well, you know, we were discussing they would generally go into Laos, Cambodia by helicopter. Helos fly them in, helos get them out. At some point, they decided to attempt something you've heard of by now, a halo jump. Halo jump. That means high altitude, low opening. It's big, fancy, special operations stuff. Don't worry, I never came close to doing any of that kind of stuff. That's BK would have done that kind of stuff. Halo jump. Only now, no one had really done it. So they decided to try it because getting in by helo was so dangerous. What if we could just drop them in at night? They did not do many of them because it was so experimental. Guys were getting hurt. One guy had a mine in his backpack that armed somehow in the air. And when he landed, it went off and he blew half his butt off. Look, that's one of the more lighthearted ones. But back to the MIA thing, Sergeant Madsen Stroline, I'm not sure how to say his last name, Madsen Stroline, he was on one of these first halo jumps, and his team, because of the weather and the rain and everything else, got scattered forever. He lands, gets caught in a tree, happens all the time, breaks his arm. They couldn't find him. They're looking for him. They're looking for him. They're looking for him. Now, remember this. The North Vietnamese really wanted to get their hands on the Mac V. Sog guys. They had hunter-killer teams. They were trying to find out what these teams were, what they knew, where they were going. They were trying to stop them and kill them. When they got to Stroline's gear, he was nowhere to be found. His main weapon was on the ground. There was evidence of some kind of a firefight, but he was gone. And actually, I read a book. I forget which one of the books it was. It might have been We Few. I think it was We Few, but it might have been Whispers in the Tall Grass, of one of the Bright Light teams. Remember, the Bright Light teams were the rescue teams they sent out if the Mac V. Sog guys were in trouble. I read a book by the Bright Light guy, one of the guys who was on the Bright Light team. He said they looked, and he was just gone, and he was never seen again. Now, if the North Vietnamese got their hands on that guy, they're probably not going to kill him right away. That would actually be really stupid. They're going to want to take that guy someplace and hold him for leverage or, God forbid, some sort of terrible interrogation. But that's how that goes. Sometimes they're just gone. And you know that guy's dead by now. By now he's dead, long dead. Lord willing, he died quickly afterwards. Well, you don't know. You don't know. But that's why that MIA stuff is so powerful and so meaningful to people. And those who don't think of it in that way, which is understandable, don't really get it. Why all the POW MIA flags? That's why the families left behind have all this uncertainty and pain, and that's why it's really for them. Anyway, back to the questions. Dr. Commie Destroyer Jesse, how do you like your tater tots? I like them crunchy. Well, potatoes in general are better the smaller and crunchier they get. Tater tots should be crunchy. Fries. Don't you ever try to serve me wedge fries. Make them thin. Make them crispy. Hash browns even. Remember I told you I took the boys to Waffle House the other day? They don't have to be all crunchy. There better be a layer of crunch hash brown on top of the other hash browns. Potatoes should be crunchy. You sit down, you eat your crunchy hash browns, and then you take your male vitality stack from Chalk. And that's when you know you've had the perfect breakfast. I don't even consider it breakfast unless I've had a male vitality stack from Chalk. Look, it's not even breakfast. I basically haven't eaten because I can feel my energy levels leaving my body without Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. Get some. You will thank me. I have not had a negative word yet. Male vitality stacks, female vitality stacks. You email me and tell me about the energy you have and how great you feel and how much better your mood is. Maybe you don't want to spend that money yet. Why don't you start out with chocolate powder? Start your day. Vitamins and minerals, and tell me how much better you feel. The anti-communists at Chalk will take good care of you. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Jesse, I'm going to Dangao, and I know how to say that word, France, for his daughter's wedding. Late June for daughter's wedding. It's a 300-year-old chateau. Chris, that's a fancy word. What? You didn't know I dabbled in French, did you? Isn't it just a house? No, Chris, it's a chateau. I wouldn't expect you to understand. You're not sophisticated enough. She wants me to select one of the five activities while we're there. Horseback riding, wine tasting, cooking class, yoga, or massages. I've tried everything except yoga and massages. I'm leaning towards massages. Am I wrong on this? Well, I guess it all depends on who you're massaging. You talk a lot about the 20 million illegals left by the Biden administration. How are we going to get them all out? Well, it's going to take time. I, too, am frustrated with the pace of deportations. The Trump administration, to their credit, is frustrated with the pace of deportations. They are trying everything in their power to get as many out as humanly possible. But always remember that we cannot destroy, or we cannot rebuild as fast as the communists destroys. We cannot. They bring in 20 million. If we're lucky, we'll deport 4, 5 maybe. Well, I may have had to drop algebra a couple times in community college, but even I know that doesn't pencil out very well if 15 million of them get to stay. We have to stay focused, and it's going to take time. It takes time to root people out of society. And remember, it's all that much more challenging because the blue area, the Democrat Party wants these people here. They're very open about that. The media wants them here. The Democrat Party wants them here. Blue states, blue cities want them here. So it's not as if you wake up today and you're an illegal from Venezuela and you know you're in hostile territory. If you're in my area of Texas, you may be in hostile territory. If you're in Florida, you may be in hostile territory. If you're in San Francisco, you're not going anywhere. You're on friendly ground. There are sanctuaries for illegals in this country because the Democrat Party's evil. It's just all there is to it. Dear CEO of Jesse's Jerk Service, we're not calling it that. I've been faithfully listening to your show for some time. And no, you've been selling ads for IQ Sense, Burna Chalk, Relief Factor, Rough Greens, and the list goes on. Do you still personally use the products you do not advertise? If so, which ones? Just curious. Ooh. I'm trying to think because we've had these ones for so long, and these are all the ones we do, I use. I won't do it if I don't use it. If you ever hear me selling Geritol or something like that, you'll know I'm lying because I don't use it. I'm trying to think. That's actually a good question. One I probably should have addressed before the end of the show. Anyway, you should go enjoy your weekend. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.